الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ولا تركنوا إلى الذين ظلموا فتمسكم النار وما لكم من دون الله من أولياء ثم لا تنصرون. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Of the very many aspects and causes of Allah Ta'ala's azab coming, and variously in the past also, one of the main aspects also is when Muslims mix very freely with non-Muslims, so much so that we adopt their ways also, their lifestyle, their friendship, we become very close friends with them. And it was seen in places where, like neighbors in and out of one another's houses with non-Muslims, and when Allah's azab came, those very same neighbors, they were the ones who took the lives of these Muslim people, and they were the ones who caused them all the great harm over in various parts of the world. So this is a very important thing, that the Islamic identity, Islamic brotherhood, and Islamic our social dealings with Muslim people, to maintain that. Of course, we will mix with non-Muslims, there will be always non-Muslims, and we will have somewhere or the other, in work, in business, different places. Then two very important things of Sharia that we have to understand is our limitations of how much should we meet, and the conditions of meeting. These are very important. We have to mix, and Sharia has allowed for this. But when we do mix with them, then the limits, it must not go over the limit, that we become very close with them, very intimate with them. We divulge even our secrets with them. Sometimes even in business we become partners with them, but they are also to the limit, not more than the limit. And the conditions that how much we have to mix, only to that extent, and that we unnecessarily we don't mix with them. And for a Muslim, first of all, his identity is very important, that he maintains his identity. In the identity is our clothing also, that our Islamic dressing, we should try and maintain that. And that also we should try and see more and more into our Islamic dressing, what we are wearing. How much is that Islamic? Like, for example, we have the Nike sign, which is a Greek goddess of victory. And it is so common on clothing today. The sign is there, or the N-I-K-E, Nike is written there. So that is also, and that is even worse. It is their belief, it is a god, it's a goddess, female god of the Greeks. And it is for success, for victory. Therefore, mostly you'll find it on sports clothing. For victory they have that. Now for a Muslim, though, of course, a Muslim will never wear it with that intention. But it's our unmindfulness. This is another thing that we are very much unmindful of, our unmindfulness. We are so unmindful of our unmindfulness that we don't realize we are unmindful. Now, one common example that we usually give, you're having a special social gathering at home, and for that special guests are coming, and you are trying to do the best for them, and you want to give them, when they come, for example, hot samosas from the frying pan into their plate, and they have it. The frying pan is on the stove, the oil is hot, you hear the car doors closing now, they have arrived now, they're going to be entering the house, and now you're going to be putting in the samosas. But this little unmindfulness of the handle of the frying pan was sticking out from the stove side. And this unmindfulness, a little 2-3 year old child was playing there, and he pulled the handle down, and all that hot oil came down onto the child now. Now that occasion that we are looking for is such a wonderful, enjoyable occasion, happy occasion, suddenly it has turned into a complete disaster. Just this little bit of ghaflat. unmindfulness. And in anything else, we are driving, and little unmindfulness, we are looking around, or today's cell phone is common, and we had a good fair distance, proper distance from the car in front, but suddenly that car had to stop and we were in our unmindfulness. Either we managed to just brake and just stop just before we touched that car, or we knocked right into the car. So this unmindfulness. So in dunya also it is so harmful. In deen it is much more harmful. And if we just gauge our unmindfulness in our namaz, for example, we are unmindful that we are unmindful also. Our namaz is usually, namaz is the mi'raj al-mu'min, is the mi'raj of a believer. But because of our unmindfulness, we are depriving ourselves of the great, great benefits of namaz. So much so that we have become old already. We are making namaz, Allah accepts also, Allah is most merciful and kind. But this mi'raj is still, it's like a duty, like a burden. Whereas namaz should have become like a pleasure. Like Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, anything just resorts to namaz. And many of us might have experienced, we also in Jamaat we saw, there were those brothers in Jamaat, the minute they got a free time, they busy making namaz. That enjoyment of namaz has come into them. Wherever they get the chance, they are busy with namaz. So like that, so this unmindfulness of us. So we are unmindful even of our Islamic identity. That even in an Islamic like today, kurta, somebody brought it to our notice, and I believe Maulana Dawood Sirat gave a very good bayan on this. I haven't heard it, but that even the kurtas, they got this emblems of BMW, all other things, even on the kurtas. And the burqas of the woman, the hijab, etc., they are all fashions, all. And brands of fashion that the kurta is, the burqa. Now, sunnat is simple dress. That is, there should be no writing on the clothing also. It is makruh that there be writing on the clothing. One time, very long ago, I used to go to Krukasdorp Masjid for Jummah namaz. At that time, there were no all the foreigners and nobody, and apartheid laws, so the people were all moved out. So there was hardly anyone living in Krukasdorp. So Jummah for business people came, so the Jummah used to be there. So I spoke about dressing clothing. Then one person, Muhammad Bey Lunat, Rashid Bey Lunat's brother, Muhammad Bey Lunat, marhum, he came to me after the bayan and he said, you must repeat your bayan next week. So I asked why. So he says that on a Saturday afternoon, they came for Zohar namaz. And nobody there, very few, two, three people, one person, not an alim, nobody, ordinary, one of the shopkeepers, he went forward to make namaz. And at the back on his t-shirt, skipper, was a naked woman's picture. And no jubba, nothing. And he was making namaz. So we become so unmindful. This ghaflet of ours reaches to that. Now like that, a person won't allow it, himself he won't allow it. But just like we're taking it for granted, we become so unmindful of it. So everything we should try and pay more attention to it. Also, with regard to our Islamic identity, to know our Islamic dates. Ramzan, everyone will know. But normally also, to follow the Islamic date. And to know our Islamic dates. After all, the Jews are not going to be interested in following our Islamic dates. The Christians are not going to be interested. And we ourselves also, we are not interested. Then who is going to uphold the Islamic dates? How are we going to uphold it? So it's also one thing. It's farz-e kifaya that we know and we can pass it off like that. But as a Muslim, my own dates, I don't know. So that is also unmindfulness of, and then we just use the Christian date, which is from Isa alayhi salatu wasalam's time, that we, without any consideration, once we wrote a letter to Hazrat Maulana Abrarul Haqsab rahmatullah alayhi, and on one of the replies that he wrote, that you have only written Islamic day, English date. To one of the institution, you haven't put an Islamic date, and we are an Islamic institute. And if you are Darul Uloom, and we don't write the Islamic date. And Maulana further wrote also, and it is my opinion, that if you would have written the Islamic date, you would have written it under the English date, which also speaks volumes of where we are and what we stand for. So all these things, we must try and become conscious of them also. So all our identity in everything, our homes also, how much we can make them Islamic. And making them Islamic is not just putting up a frame or something like that, and by that it becomes, it is simplicity. At one time, when we went to Iran, to our people of course, and we saw that generally their homes, there is nothing in the lounge, no couches, nothing, not even a mattress. Just what you call it, even the bedroom is like that. At night, they've got their, though they are wealthy, they are rich, they've got everything. But for sleeping, they'll just open the cupboard, take out an edredown, godru, and that will be the mattress. And then to cover themselves, whatever else on top according to the season. But just like that, the house is just like empty. They say, no, we got a dressing table, we got our beds, we got our showcases, we got so many things. And yet we are happy that I'm sunnat, I'm living according to sunnat. One person came to Maulana Muhammad Umar Saab, Rahmatullah Ali Palanpuri, after listening to the bayan. He was motivated, he wanted to go in Jamaat. So he told Maulana, I haven't got money to go. I want to go now, I feel the importance, everything. So Maulana told, come, let me explain to you where you will get your money. He says, your home you've got? He said, yeah. You've got a showcase in the lounge? Yeah. And you've got all things in the showcase? He said, just go and sell that out. That will be more than enough for you to do your chilla and to do your 4 months also. So we have got, but we are wasting our money. And we're not aware of it also. A person got a TV also, but he feels, I can take zakat. All these things, yes, so many extras in our lives, which we don't think about. So we have to try an Islamic way of life, the sunnah, try and understand it. And that will come when we say, what our old elders, today, where do we find them also? Those people like Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Allahu Akbar, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib, he had a pillow on which he used to sit and do all his work. And Hazrat's room, main room, was like a veranda. It wasn't like what we call a room. The front was like open. And that was his where he spent his life, day in and day out. So he had this little like a cushion on which he used to sit. So one South African who spent time with Hazrat, and he became a bayat, and he spent long time with Hazrat. But when he saw this, according to our nature, it was torn and dead. So he had a new cover made, sewed it, and he was expecting that I'm doing a great service. Hazrat became so angry, that who is this who interfered in my things and went and do this here? He didn't allow it. The simplicity which was in their lives, we can't imagine it. We saw, many of us hopefully, Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Gangohi, Rahmatullah Ali, their simplicity in Hazrat's room. In Dioban, we were in and out of Hazrat's room, we should go regularly. Besides kitabs, there was nothing else really. No bed, you would say. We used to wonder, where does Hazrat sleep? Doesn't he sleep also? Just kitabs. And the mats at the bottom, not even these mats, just the grass mats. That was common. Just those grass mats, that all. And for winter, when it is cold, then they have this grass. They put that at the bottom, which is a bit warm. That is how they live. So all these things we have to try and cultivate and bring into our homes. But today our lifestyle has changed completely. For example, of our lifestyle, how many kurtas have we got? So many kurtas we have got. And then other material is still kept for us to sew. Though we have got more than enough. And amount we are wearing, then we still got others. Every time we buy more. Today a person's cupboard is filled with how many types and all different occasions, different our shoes. how many types of shoes we got. For in the house, different shoes. For going out, how many different types. Whereas we see with we saw Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Paranpuri, who traveled the world, but all he had was the beach tongs. That's all. Wherever he went in the world, that was all that he had. No other shoes or what we will call shoes or anything. So that simplicity, this is all part of Islamic way of life, which we have to try and bring within us. And many of our other buzurgs, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali himself, and many other buzurgs, Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib, towards the end of his life, the few sets of kurtas he had, he gave that also to his khadim, Maulana Ibrahim. And he said, now I'll borrow from you when I want to wear. So, hardly. And we, one place we went for a ladies program, in a hot country, so they leave the, and safe country also, so the shoes, and they don't walk with shoes in the house. They leave it outside on a shoe rack. They have a special shoe rack. So when we went there, we were sitting there, and the whole shoe rack was full with shoes. So I also got happy that plenty ladies came for the bayan. Afterwards, we found out nobody came. All those shoes are the house ladies' shoes. One lady's shoes, for the whole shoe rack is full. And today, forget ladies, we men, our shoes are so many. All this is part that we have to try, and especially if we feel that I'm closer to deen, I'm an alim, I'm a mufti, I'm in deen, so how much of deen really is in my life? Am I dunyadar or am I deendar? Like this, we might think I'm poor, but really, I've got so much in my home. Compared to how many of the Sahaba, our pious people, they say when they passed away, what was their inventory, what was their stock, what did they have? Hardly anything. Nothing really whatsoever. And the amount we have got, and we are all guilty of it. And we all have to, at least we make some muzakara, we become conscious, and we ask Allah, and we try and drop our standards. Slowly, gradually, we drop our standards. So anyway, that is one aspect, and that is in everything. Our homes also, our dressing also, our cars also. Cars also, if we can, one person, Amzinto, he was like, you could say, the mayor of the Muslims. Rich man, very rich man. But he always drove a very simple car. His shoes, he will polish them himself. He polishes his shoes himself. Himself personally, every morning after Fajr, he had a certain number of homes, bread and milk himself used to go and deliver to so many homes. But if you see his lifestyle, his clothing, his car, his house, very, very simple. Don't remember exactly now, but some Jamaat brothers, they were very wealthy. First, they were not in deen out, but then, mashallah, they got involved in deen work, Jamaat work, etc. All their businesses, everything, not very wealthy. That kept on carrying on. But their lifestyle, their home changed completely. Simple, down to the ground. And the house, they made it a madrasa. And they were teaching the children there. Now all that fancy furniture and all that, nothing of all that. The carpets and what all that, nothing. Now very simple. And all that money, now using it for deen all the time. So Allah Ta'ala give us also tawfiq. And till today, mashallah, there are people and throughout the world. Whether you think of a country like America, you think of a country like Malaysia, everywhere there are those people. When the understanding of deen came, it wasn't just an outward form and garb of deen, but deen came with its reality. And this is the reality. We read in Fadail Amal, we do ta'aleem every day. Allah make it that it comes into us. And then, of course, the mixing with non-Muslims, that also is a very important thing. Too much of mixing, and freely in and out of the house that we go, so much so that we don't understand, like we are like pious people, we take ourselves to be. At our funerals, we saw that at the time of burial, then these non-Muslims were present there also. And with them, then Allah's rahmat, it's a problem for Allah's rahmat to come down. But they are there at that time also. In our weddings, they are there. Weddings not still as serious as a funeral, but even at a wedding, nikah time, we want Allah's rahmat. And then in our weddings, commonly it is said that we will have Christian things in our wedding, the gown of the bride, for example. The groom will have some flowers put or whatever, many things. There we'll have things of the Jews, we'll have things of the Hindus, but of Islam and Sunnah, even people who practice on Sunnah, at that time, Sunnahs are thrown out. At the time of Walima, to have a Walima is Sunnah, but now to make it so big, how much money we spend, etc. So that also, we try and bring that also according to Sunnah. Everything of our lives, we should try and bring according to Sunnah. And shan khaliful Yahuda wa Nasara. We should oppose the ways of the Yahuda and Nasara. But today we are promoting their ways. In our dini matters also, we are promoting their ways. Whereas we are commanded to oppose their ways. And therefore, right from the beginning of the Quran Sharif, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ, that not the ways of the Jews, the Christians, not the ways of the non-believers, but I'm making namaz and my dressing is like the non-believers. And I'm saying with my tongue that, Ya Allah, I don't want to follow the ways of the non-believers. We have a wedding, there is a qiraat that is being read, and then all are listening. Today, unfortunately, man and woman sit mixed also. And we are reading the Quran Sharif. It is, Allah forgive us. It's like making a mockery. The dressing of the woman, the dressing of the man, then there is no adab at that time also. Little bit if somebody manages to keep quiet, it is something. But and so all this, Allah make it our nikahs, our funerals, our lifestyle come according to deen. This is a very, very, and we don't really regard this as part of deen. As long as I'm making my namazes, my five times namaz I'm making, I'm keeping my rozas, I go every year for umrah, I give my chilla every year. But otherwise, all these things, this has to come into our lives. So we have to work towards that. And our friendship that we should keep with our Muslim people. And that also, even in the Muslims, the ulama are very particular, mashayikh, for especially a murid, as long as his tarbiyat is being made, that he should not mix with people, with even Muslims, but who are far from deen, etc., because all that has an effect on him, and it will affect him tremendously. So at all times also, and the effect like today, all this radiation story that we are talking about, and people accept all the radiation. Definitely, of every person, the book we read, that also has got an effect. The books we keep in our homes, we've got a little library, and we've got some books there. Even we were so ignorant, Allah Ta'ala teach us and keep on teaching us till more. At one time we thought that to learn English and to benefit English, Reader's Digest is very good. Till one teacher friend, a family member, he said the most subtle propagation of Christianity is with the Reader's Digest book. He says every copy of Reader's Digest will have two or three stories of some miracles that happened, and that how Jesus came and they prayed to him and it helped them. So without us realizing it, they are pushing all that in. And all everything else also. So even that, just the TV in the house, even we're not watching, but just the presence of the TV in the house, the nahusat, the evil of it, definitely has an effect on us. And all this Western way of, or modern way, whichever way we can call it, their clothing, their dressing, their things. Today our children's toys, to the extent that there's music in the toys also. And there is on the phone, the amount of all, especially this cartoons and that, we keep the children amused with that. It's the worst thing we can do for our children. But it's a common thing also, keep the children occupied. Either doze them off with the panado syrup, let them sleep. Or just put them in front of the TV, put on a cartoon, etc., and let them watch that. And in that, we are destroying that whole child's future. And then afterwards, when the child becomes a delinquent, the child has got bad behavior, language is foul, terrible, then we wonder. And parents ask also, pious parents, that where did we go wrong? We do everything wrong, and then we still have the audacity to ask, where did I go wrong? Our Shaykh Rahmatullah used to say, a person gets a problem in his life, and then he asks, what guna did I make? He said, the question you should ask, that which guna haven't I made till today? We are involved in all types of gunas, and we feel that we are not in guna, etc. So, this is one very important aspect. The month of Ramadan was a month that Allah made it that we were on our own, like. And i'tikaf a person makes, a woman makes at home, man makes in the masjid, we have got our environment. Then our Ramadan was the time that it gave us our environment. The rozas, the iftari, the sehri, how many people are saying that Muslims, like for example, now because of all these restrictions, but we on the mic, let us put on our zikrs, etc., our bayans, etc. We all want that Islamic environment. So the real Islamic environment is not putting up some frames in the house. That what is written should be in the heart. Like in the wuzu khana, we got that, the duas. That's a reminder. It's not, we all understand there, it's not to beautify the wuzu khana. It's just to remind us that we have to read. And the thing is, those duas must be in our hearts. Not that it is on the wall, Ayatul Kursi. If there is Ayatul Kursi, beautiful frame, we spend so much money for it. But if that Ayatul Kursi we are not reading, at least morning, evening, what is the use? The dua that is written next to the door for security, we just put the dua, it's good. But actually we have to be reading it. All this must be in our hearts. It's not meant for the wall, it is meant for our hearts. So Allah Ta'ala make this, that our Islamic identity, Islamic, our socializing must be also Islamic. We have to work, we are working in a place where we're working with non-Muslims, then just keep it to calm se calm. How much is necessary, so much. We don't have to share our lunch with them. We don't have to eat together with them. We do our own thing. And on the with all this in mind, we don't suffer from a superiority complex either. This is to protect and guard us. Like also Buzurgan Deen have written, that to mix with people who are far from Deen is harmful. But we don't mix with them, not because that we think they are inferior, but that we don't mix with them with this intention that my harm must not reach them. That my harm must not reach them. That's why we don't mix with them. So we don't. And akhlaq and character, even with the non-Muslims, to help them out, they are in difficulty. Islam doesn't prohibit that at all. Islam encourages that. We help them out of necessity. We look after them. We show them good akhlaq also. But this hearty relationship that we have, that comes to the extent that we don't, one of the conditions, that we don't look at it negatively now. Even the religious practices for afterwards, we start accepting them also. And we allow that also. Like, for example, you tell a person that your idol, that he's a Hindu, your idol, you must keep your idol. Now, we encouraging like that. That is not permitted at all. Anything with the Christians over the Easter weekend, the Easter egg, etc., the Christmas turkey, dinner for turkey, all what these are, they're special things. And we try and encourage giving Christmas box. Or to give a bonus Christmas time and we give it as a Christmas box to them. That is not permitted. We should avoid all that. They're religious things. So when we don't realize we mix with them, then their religious values also, we also value that also. And that becomes very, very dangerous to value their religious values. And we don't think of it as anything wrong also. So to draw the line that akhlaq we must show them. And we will be good with them also. But we won't be impressed with them. We won't let that influence. So this is not that a person willingly wants to be, but when we mix with them, then automatically we get impressed with them. Their lifestyle, like for example, a famous instance, which is a genuine instance, that a alim of Medina Sharif who passed away, he was buried in Jannatul Baqi. And at more or less the same time, Dr. Hamidullah, who did a lot of tabligh work in his way, not Jamaat way, but he did a lot of work. A young French girl who accepted Islam and was learning by him, she passed away in France. She was buried there. And in Baqi, when they, sometimes 6 months or so, they bury in the same qabr. When they went and buried, they found to their surprise that who they had on record, that this alim was buried there, but this Christian girl was there, and who became a Muslim. And then there when they exhumed that body there where they buried the Christian girl who became a Muslim, there this alim was there. When they asked his wife, what was this? They say that he was very good, pious, doing deen's work, everything. But he used to say, after cohabiting, sharing the bed with the wife, Christian religion is better, yeah, that you don't have to make ghusl. In Islam, you have to go and take a bath. And there you don't have. So he didn't like that. He liked that thing of the Christian. Allah put him there. So, and this is reported by genuine sources from various people. So Allah Ta'ala, let us keep our Islamic identity, very, very important. Our association with Muslims, we keep it. Where we have to mix to its limit with the conditions. And also our akhlaq, and especially our monetary dealings. Whether it is the person working in the house, make sure we pay them properly. We pay them on time. We don't do them down in any way. In the shop with our customers, we show them properly what Islamic teachings are. One friend of ours in Botswana, Gaborone's, he made this rule. He heard that if somebody buys from you, what we read in the kitab also, and he comes back with it, and then he says, I want to return this goods. So he made it a rule. No questions asked. Anyone come, exchange, and give them back their money. So on a Saturday morning, he said the shop was full, very busy. And a lady came and she brought a radio she had bought and she gave it. But she wanted to return it. So the salesman went to him to his office upstairs and told him. So he said, you know our rule, why are you coming to me? So he says, but you can see the signs of usage on it. Usually they want it with the original packing and all that. So he says, no, our rule is you give the money. He gave. She went outside and on the stairs of the shop, on the top of her voice she was shouting that anyone want to buy, they must just come to this shop. These people are real good people. They are genuine people. You can't get a better advertisement for your business than this. And she was advertising. And many other cases like that. But there today, in non-Muslim shops, we will see that you wish to exchange or return your goods, we will gladly accept it. And Muslim shops, you'll find a notice, goods once sold cannot be returned again. So our whole Islamic identity, our Islamic way in everything, Allah Ta'ala make it that it comes alive. Maulana Yunus Patel, Rahmatullah Ali, it's famous about him, that whoever worked in his house, helpers in the house, everyone accepted Islam. Whoever went after some time they worked, and they left, they all accept because there was Islam in that house. Today we give them da'wah, but Islam is not in my life. And they also think, how we living, you living worse than that. You doing things more wrong than what we are doing. And you giving me da'wah of Islam, but when you live an Islamic life, and Islam is taught how to live with even our workers in the house, how we are with a slave, what Islam has taught. Feed them what you eat. Clothe them what you wear. What is for a slave? These are not slaves. Allah give me, talking big, but I am the worst of all. Allah give us all tawfiq and make us conscious of this. And this unmindfulness, Allah take it away, make us conscious, inshallah. And make this Ramadan a means for Islam to spread when we go here. With our families at least. Otherwise the wife also will say, there you acted so holy, you were there. And now with me, how you treat me? And she also got a lot of complaints with our friends, with all, everyone. Allah give us tawfiq to live correctly and accept our Ramadan. And Allah bless us with more Ramadan, with afiyat and salamati, and to take benefit of it and to make us better and good Muslims. May Allah guide us to righteousness. Wa akhiru da'wana.